Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. It's just gone 8 minutes past the hour of nine. You are listening to Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. This morning, Mulana Ibrahim Bam joins us telephonically for the program. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you doing this morning, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. Allah has been very kind. Alhamdulillah.
A very fascinating chapter, Mulana. When I was reading this, I was really thinking very deeply, and I said the author went quite far in bringing this chapter across, Mulana.
Yes, Mulana. I think we are 1 week away from Ramadan, and people, inshallah, would be spiritually preparing for Ramadan, and may Allah Ta'ala make it such by the next program that we have, inshallah. People will be in the Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. If anyone wants to bring up any aspect with regard to the month of Ramadan or matters pertaining to it, by all means they can do so. But I, as you said correctly, Mulana, that when you look at this chapter, it is entitled Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's hair. Now, how do you start off describing a chapter which has such a unique or an unusual chapter or title? How do you describe it? And the best way to describe it is, and as we will go on to say, that one important aspect that this chapter brings out, you cannot have two individuals having the same temperament and the same reaction at a given time, which would lead to arguments and fireworks. They say the way the author has put it during the course of this topic, as I will go on to explain. But maybe for the listeners to start tuning in, to start thinking about it, it says dealing with a stubborn person by using stubbornness only results in fireworks. And you can imagine, dealing with an angry person with anger is going to result in fireworks. Perhaps, maybe taking it another way, dealing with a person who is very cool, only coolly, you're going to have inactivity. So maybe that is the way I can put forward the topic, and inshallah we will expand upon it after the break.
Yes, the numbers to remember, 011-854-1548, the SMS line 48855, or the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548, or you can even tweet Mulana Ibrahim Bam at Ibrahim Bam, or 083-786-2859. A fascinating chapter indeed. It's chapter 21 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi. When we return, we'll continue with the book. The author, Dr. Al-Arifi, starts off this chapter with a very beautiful example, and he illustrates the two scenarios, the exact situation, but the two different outcomes for, by the different people and the different approaches. Marana will tell us more about it. Marana?
Asma, jazakallah for the opportunity, and once again, assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. A teacher once worked in a secondary school. In one of his lessons, he noticed that some students were being negligent and lagging behind in their revision, so he decided that he's going to teach them a lesson. And after a few days, when he entered the classroom, the moment he entered, he stunned the students by saying, "Everyone, put your books away, and we are going to do a sudden impromptu exams," with the intention to see how prepared and how they understood the lessons that were being imparted. You have a surprise exam. The pupils grumbled as they complied, but one student who was, according to the way the author puts it, a known troublemaker, a known person who was not very good in his studies, he said, "Teacher, we don't want an exam now. I cannot even answer exam questions after revising. So what's going to happen when I even hadn't been able to revise at all?" And he said this in a very fierce tone, and the teacher was furious. He said, "Things don't happen here just as you please. You must sit in this impromptu certain exam. Do you understand? If you don't like it, then get out of the classroom. The pupil replied back in rage, rather you get up and leave. Rather you get up. The teacher turned to the pupil, walked up to him, and began scolding him and rebuking him. You have no manners, you have no etiquette. Is this a way to speak to a teacher? The pupil stood up to the teacher, and some things occurred during the course of that altercation, which the author says I would rather not mention, but can be guessed. The matter reached the school administration. The pupil was punished by having his final marks decrease, and he was forced to pledge that he would never ever again misbehave. He was put on terms, or he was put on suspended sentence, so you will say. As for the teacher, everyone at the school began speaking about him. The moment he passed by, people started whispering. Do you know this teacher? This is what he had done to that student. It almost ended up in a fist fight. There was an altercation until it became difficult for him to remain at that school. He was thus compelled to leave and join another school. Now that is how one scenario ended. And the author is making the point that how you react to a situation, that's what becomes the norm, and that's what becomes the situation. So he says, he gives another example of another school teacher once faced the same dilemma, but look at how he dealt with it. One day he entered his classroom and surprised the pupils by saying, please take out your pen and paper, you have a surprise exam. One pupil, like the one mentioned previously, screamed, teacher, you cannot give us an exam whenever you feel like.
Yeah.
The teacher was like a mountain that could feel the insignificant weight of the person trying to climb him. He knew that a stubborn person should not be responded to with yet more stubbornness. The student was perhaps provoking the teacher, and if there was provocation, he would not have been able to achieve his objective. So the teacher smiled and said, so Khalid, you do not want to sit in the exam. And the pupil screamed, no, it is not fair, it is not like this, it is not like that. The teacher then said very calmly, okay, whoever does not wish to sit the exam have that option, but will have to face the school's disciplinary procedure. So write down the questions now and answer what you have understood. Question number one, solve the following equation. The teacher began to list the questions, but the pupil could not remain silent and said, I told you I don't want to sit this exam. The teacher looked at the pupil with a smile and said, am I forcing you to sit in an exam? You are an adult and responsible for your own actions. If you want to, you can write. If you don't want to, you can perhaps leave it, but then you will have to deal with whatever actions the administration of the school deems appropriate. The pupil found that he could not make this teacher angry, so he calmed down, took out a pen and paper, and began to write down the question. Afterward, he was disciplined by the school administration for misbehavior and standing up to the teacher. And the author makes the point, very, very important point. When I reflected upon the story, I realized the difference in people's ability to deal with diverse situations and the expertise in either solving or making a problem worse. Dealing with a stubborn person by using stubbornness only results in fireworks. Everyone would agree that fighting a fire with fire would only increase the flames, and that responding to coldness with coldness would also not work either. Therefore, one cannot adopt this approach. And unfortunately, Maulana, by and large, in people's works and relationship, that is how people respond to one another. And in the words of the author, and one would have to agree by the great logic behind it, if you deal with a stubborn person, what stubbornness, it adds to the problem.
Exactly.
If you add with coldness to a person who is cold, he say he's not going to speak. You say you also not going to speak. So what's going to happen? The matter is going to become more worse. And that is why it's so important in any given situation and relationship, two people cannot be angry at the same time. You will never ever resolve anything. If one is angry, the other has to, by the very nature of solving a problem, calm the person down and said, let us discuss this at another moment. Because if you do not do so, in anger you're going to scream, the other person is going to scream, the matter is going to become worse, the problem gets absolutely by the wayside. And thereafter nothing gets resolved. And I don't know if listeners would agree with this approach, and maybe people could say and give us examples with regard to it, whether they agree or they don't agree, or had there been experiences in their life in which this matter had been the way it was, and instead of, or the way the author had said, this is what was the outcomes with regard to it.
Yes, so just to recap on that scenario, very important, this is the basis of our discussion, and we can have other discussions flowing from here. We have a teacher who got angry at the student who was angry at him. And the result was almost a fist fight. And then in the second scenario, the student was angry and the teacher smiled. And the situation was extinguished. So it's how we react to a situation. And Manala, you made a very important point that when you start fighting, then the problem doesn't become the problem, but it's our reaction becomes the problem. Don't raise your voice on me. Don't raise your voice. And now you're fighting about the tone of how you're approaching things and no longer the issue itself.
Talking about when you don't talk to another person doesn't talk, then reminds me of you know, somewhat humorous incident of husband and wife were not talking to one another. So the husband had to catch a very early morning flight for business purposes. So he wrote a note to the husband, to the wife, I need to get up early, 4:30, to go to the airport. Please wake me up. So obviously they were not speaking. So the next morning the husband got up late, got up 6 o'clock, and obviously he's going to miss the flight because he had to get up 4 or 5 o'clock, and he got up 6 o'clock, and he then scolded the wife and rebuked the wife and said, why didn't you wake me up? She said, well, I woke you up. He said, how you woke me up? She said, we were not speaking. You put a note on thy side, wake me up at 4:30. So at the time of 4:30, I also took a note and wrote, please get up, and I left it at the side. So this is what happens when you have a similar reaction to the spouse.
Yeah, so it's important how we react to situations. And Marana, you made a very important point that two people cannot be angry at the same time, because then you're not resolving the issue. One has to be mature enough to allow the other one to fumigate or allow their steam to come out, and then you take your opportunity. If both people are going to shout on top of their voices, then there's nothing that's going to be resolved.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I, you know, when I looked at the chapter, the way it was entitled, it was written that Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was here. So I was just sort of flabbergasted that what exactly is the meaning of this the chapter, the title of the chapter. How does one put it in that way? And then I read, and of course by the third page of the chapter, then the author gives an example with regard to how he has linked what is in the chapter to the title. All right? So he said, one day someone asked Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known for his justice and his wisdom. I mean, we know that after a period in history where there was great turmoil after the martyrdom of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala took over, there was great amount of situations that arose that were not pleasant and was not good in our Islamic history. When Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala came into power, he was universally accepted as the Khalifa after Ali radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala abdicated his position and he made over his right of Khilafah to Hazrat Muawiyah, so Hazrat Muawiyah was unanimously accepted as a Khalifa of the Muslims. And he ruled for over 20 years, 27 years, to be more or less precise and exact. And it was a time that brought about calm in the Muslim Ummah compared to the brief aspect in which there was turmoil. And the turmoil was not due to bad motives by the people who were involved. The motives were good. The hypocrites thereafter took advantage of the situation to cause even further turmoil.
Mm.
However, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ruled for 27 years in a very, very precarious and a very difficult situation. And he restored calm, and he restored peace, and he restored the progress of the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah started going in all different directions in terms of progress. The navy was established in the time of Muawiyah. It was established in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, but Muawiyah radiallahu anhu took it to another level. And Muslims then controlled the Mediterranean because of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's wisdom and his initiative and his greatness. So someone asked him once, said, how did you manage to govern for such a long period of time? So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu gave an amazing reply, and I want all of the listeners to think about this reply. He said, I placed a hair's breadth between myself and the people. It was like a hair. Take it as one single hair, or maybe take it as a chotli, what the woman used, right? A mixture of hair which becomes strong. So if we take that particular aspect, this example of hair, and I would hold it from one end, and they would hold it from the other. So I was the leader, but I had one side of the hair, the people had the other side of the hair. Because there had to be some sort of liaison between the person who is a leader and the one whom he is leading. If they pulled it from their end, I would lose it from my end, so that the hair strand would not break.
Mm.
If they loosened it from their end, I would pull it on my side.
True.
So I kept that particular relationship. If they pulled, I loosened. If they loosened, I pulled. So the relationship was kept in that particular way. Sometimes when they became furious, I became calm. Sometimes when they were too calm, I pulled so that I could impress the objectives that I was trying to achieve.
Mm.
So he said, in that way, I governed at a very difficult period of Islamic history. And the author said, may Allah have mercy on him, how wise he was. We can all agree that if both partners of a couple are stubborn, they would never live together in happiness.
Subhanallah.
If both parties get immediately angry, there's going to be problems in that house.
Hmm.
Similarly, two stubborn people cannot be friends for long. Two angry people sometimes become very difficult for them to maintain that relationship. And I think this is just such great words of wisdom for a relationship.
Yeah, here we have the mixture of both. He wasn't so lenient that you could trample over him, nor was he so stern that you couldn't get across to him and access him. He had the mixture of both, and this is required as a leader. The natural state of every person, the natural state of every person is to get defensive.
Yes.
And in that state of being defensive, you say things or you do hurtful things which you regret later.
Definitely.
So what the author is saying, that when you are cornered, your natural reaction is to be defensive, but you need to move out of that paradigm, and you need to be kind or allow for things to iron out, and then you take action. So,
definitely.
So this is the crux of the discussion. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, we'd like to hear from you some of the situations, how you deal with and how it has played out today, 5 or 10 days later, or 5 or 5, 10 years later. That could have been the boiling point for the both of you, but you have managed to survive. How? And share with us on 011-854-1548, or alternatively 488-55, or Monana Bam 083-786-2859. We are discussing chapter 21 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi, and we are discussing how to react in serious situations, in cases where you are cornered or where you have to be under the sun and you have to face the heat. How do you react to those situations? And the author cited two examples of teachers and the stubborn student. how both teachers reacted and what was the outcome. And so, Marana, the thing is that we will definitely be tested. There's one thing that we cannot get away from. And it takes a lot of courage to just contain yourself at that moment, because somebody is gunning you down, and sometimes what they are saying is totally, totally out of context or totally untrue. But at that time, to be calm or to contain yourself is really an achievement, Mona.
Yes, Mona. And you know, the author is so beautifully mentioned this whole aspect when he said that he said he recalls giving a lecture in one prison, and it happened that the lecture was delivered to a special section of the prison where most of the prisoners were guilty of murder or manslaughter or serious matters. When I finished my lecture and the prisoners went back to their cell, one of them came forward to me and thanked me. I realized that he was the one responsible for cultural activities in the prison. So he made a remarkable recovery in terms of his rehabilitation. And I asked him about the cause which led to most of the people to commit murder. And he replied, "Sheikh, just anger." He said, "Many of the people who are here have killed over a few riyals." Bear in mind that the author is from Saudi Arabia. "During a dispute with a shopkeeper or a petrol station attendant." Now, just can you imagine that many a times what leads to great arguments and dispute, what leads to great amount of turmoil and problems in a marriage, in a relationship, in a community, it's all about how you react. And this is what the author has put it forward, that, I mean, if people are going to react, and if you are going to react to people the way they react to you, then really what's going to happen is you're just going to inflame the situation. They say opposites attract, right? And obviously when we use the word opposites attract, we use it in a very specific case. But I mean, it does tell you that, yes. If you go down, you're not going to have opposites. If one is, say, there's going to be anger, then there has to be another one who has the opposite. And if there is going to be a stubborn, then you're going to have another person who is not stubborn. So if you have the opposites, it's going to attract, and they're going to keep to one another. But if both of them are in a similar manner, what's going to happen? They will never get together. If you take a magnet and you have to put the two sides which pulls the steel and the iron towards one another, the steel towards one another, what's going to happen? There's going to be fights all the time. So I don't know if this makes sense. I sometimes wonder with regard to the listeners. Nowadays we're speaking all these technical terms. Maybe they must be feeling this. No, man, this is now too technical for us.
No, it's everybody goes through it. Here's a message coming through. It reads, "Manana, sabr is like swallowing something bitter without displaying any distaste on your face."
And sometimes you have to swallow certain things that are bitter because it is good for you. So sometimes you might have to take a cough mixture or have to take a medicine, and especially some of the Hakim's medicines are not very, very pleasant to take, but you take it because it is good for you. So yes, sometimes you have to swallow certain things. Nabi Karim Salam said, no one has swallowed anything more better than swallowing his anger.
Yes, indeed. The lines are open, 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. And Mullah, many people, we've noticed over the experiences that when they are angry, they say things and they do things.
Yeah.
But once the anger subsides, and let's take a scenario of a husband and wife, and let's say in that fit of anger, they end the relationship. But once that anger subsides, in most cases, 9 out of 10, you see, they only have regrets and they want to get back together, but because they finish fire the bullets, there isn't much hope left.
Yes.
And then they sit for the problem, and down the line there's just misery.
Yes. And that's why the author so beautifully put it. He said, when he was asked with regard to the person who was in the prison, he said in many instances it was all with regard to. And then the author writes, I remember the words of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A strong person is not the one who throws his adversaries to the ground. A strong person is not the one who overcomes another person. A strong person is not the one who beats up another person or he overwhelms another person. A strong person is he who contains himself when angry. He can channel his anger in such a way that does not become destructive. Yes, the hero isn't the one with a strong body who overpowers anyone he wrestles with. therefore, if this was a yardstick of heroism, then surely the animals would have been nobler than human beings.
Mm.
Rather, the hero is the intelligent one who knows how to skillfully deal with diverse situations. The hero is the one who tactfully deals with his wife, children, manager, colleagues, and his people at his workplace without losing them with a broader community. This is how it is.
Well, we've got a call online. Let's take that call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You know, in each and every one of us, there are two wolves. One is evil and bad and angry, and the other one is soft and compassionate.
Mm.
Now, it's up to you to choose which one you are going to feed.
Mm.
In other words, Mulana, it's a matter of self-discipline. You have to come to the realization that to discipline yourself will be better for you and for the rest of the people around you.
And have you found that to be an experience that you have come to the conclusion with?
Yes, yes. In my experience, Mulana, I feel that, you know, many times it takes a little bit of discipline. For example, you know, Mulana Yunus Pacha was a great inspiration for me.
Mm-hmm.
He once said on the radio that if your husband or somebody comes in angry and starts shouting at you and screaming at you, then you tell yourself that, you know, if Satan has taken control over him, why should I allow Satan to take control over me as well?
Mm-hmm.
So you are not responsible for anyone's action or anybody's behavior or anybody's speech. They are responsible for their own actions,
mm-hmm,
and their own speech and their own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we should not allow them to influence our temperature, our temperament, our manner, our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting indeed. Jazakumullah for that, sister. Good insight, Mara.
Very good, very good. I see someone has sent a very interesting message and a question that is coming from the same time. How do you react to your spouse who continuously brings out the bad in you and keeps looking for your wrongs, overlooking all the good that you do? How do you react to that?
Mm.
An important question. Obviously, if the spouse is doing that, it goes against the Quranic principles. وَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Be good to your spouse. فَإِنْكَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ. If you dislike one trait, فَأَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Don't harp on that one trait that you find to be offensive. But look at the good that Allah has kept in that spouse. And maybe Allah Ta'ala has kept many other goods. وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So that is the normal human reaction that Allah Ta'ala tells us how to deal with in a marriage. That look, accentuate the positive, overlook the negatives, and work towards rectifying and amending the negatives. However, in this particular regard, if someone is not doing that, then, I mean, see, you can't go and do the same thing. You continue doing good to your ability, doing good because Allah has commanded us to do good.
Also, Marana, every person needs to understand that he also has skeletons, his own skeletons, and he also has his own faults. We are quick to judge and nitpick at others, but when it comes to ourselves, we're very reserved. So perhaps we should turn the focus towards ourselves and ask ourselves and do some soul searching. Automatically, you'll find a balance that, look, I'm also a human being and I also have faults, and I've also got the dark side in me. So let me not be judgmental about others. And like they say, if you seek faults, you'll find many.
Yes.
And if you seek good, you'll find also many. The choice is yours. Here's another message coming through, Mana. Assalamu alaikum. My husband says his policy is, I am who I am. If you don't like it, you can leave. He only sees the wrong that I do, but he himself finds himself perfect.
Let's see. Unfortunately, people who adopt that attitude, it's sad. I really find it very sad, because there is no one greater than the Nabi of Allah. And the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with his different wives in accordance with their temperament. He didn't say, I am who I am, I got wahi from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was anyone who was worthy of saying that, it would have been the Nabi of Allah. Then he didn't say that, then how can we adopt such an attitude? And I've seen situations where people adopt such attitudes and they break their marriages.
Mm.
Or they make their marriages into a misery for both themselves and for their partners, because they adopt an attitude, we are always right.
Yes, so we all need to be tolerating each other. And Mulana, the author makes a very good point in the next two hadith, and he puts his comment. Maybe we can take a look at that.
Yes, there's no doubt. One of that, he said that patience comes with forbearance. I really like his his explanation with regard to that hadith. The meaning of this is that the first time one suppresses his anger, it may drain his emotions.
100%.
So when you make sabr and you have forbearance, forbearance, I suppose, would be something like our understanding of sabr, although sabr is a very, very different meaning in Arabic, the way it is in Urdu or Gujarati. But forbearance would mean, whereas, for example, you know, you have a broad shoulder and you learn to bear things. So first time you bear things, it becomes very difficult. Your natural reaction is to become impulsive and react. And when you do so, when you have to restrain that, it becomes very difficult.
Mm.
But you see, the second time, it will decrease to 90%. So the next time you have to have forbearance, it will be easier. The third time, it will be 80%. And as you learn to be forbearant, it becomes part and parcel of your tabiat and your temperament and your nature. If anyone can take even this one thing, although there are so many great aspects in this one chapter, but if someone only takes this one great aspect, it will be tons of wisdom in every one of his relationships.
Mm.
Forbearance at first drains your emotion, becomes very difficult, but thereafter it becomes easier as you practice upon it. Such a beautiful piece of advice.
Yes, it drains your emotions 100%, the author is saying, because you want to clarify your name, you want to clarify your stance. Hey, listen, what is said is not all true. Let me first clarify. And so it drains your emotions and it makes you impulsive also.
Definitely.
And it becomes a second nature. That's why the Quran says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. That is a very difficult thing to exercise and to bring into our lives, Munala.
Definitely. So when the natural reaction, and another great another aspect is that people normally feel that if I have to react to clear my name, then I'm the one who is courageous. But the Quran tells us it is an act of courage to be forbearant. It's not an act of courage to give in to your anger and to react in a manner that is not matured.
Subhanallah, such thought-provoking discussions.
I think another aspect that Mawlana Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the worst of people, I mean, there's a very famous incident of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person came to meet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was not very well known for his mannerism. He was looked upon a person who was a known troublemaker in the community. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he came, that this person is known to have this reputation. And yet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with him the most beautiful manner. Good akhlaq, didn't give him any opportunity to say anything about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he went, Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, you said this about him and you dealt with him so beautifully. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, the worst of people are those that people stay away from them because of their abusive nature. I want all listeners to listen to this. The worst of people are those who people stay away from them because of their abusive nature. So what does it tell you? It tells you that in today's time, we've got a warped sense of righteousness and definitions. Today, if people stay away from me because of the way I deal with them, then many a times we say, Jo, uto evo chhe, koi mara hambe nahi bole. I'm such a person, no one speaks in front of me. I will deal with them, I will shout to them, I'll swear them. But yet, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such a person that people stay away from them because of the abusive nature, they are the worst of humankind. But today we tell they regard it as a good trait.
Subhanallah. There's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تكن إماعة. The Prophet of Allah said, do not become an إماعة. So the Sahaba asked, what is an إماعة? What do you mean, O Prophet of Allah? He said the nature of a person who falls under this category is in أحسن الناس أحسنت إليهم. If people are kind towards him, he is kind towards them. وإن أساءوا إليه أساء إليهم. And if people are bad towards him, he is bad towards them also. He further went on to say, ولكن وطنوا أنفسكم. Train yourself in such a way that even if people are good to you or bad to you, you're still kind to them. You're not meeting only kindness with kindness, but when people are harsh towards you, you are being kind towards them. And if you look at the seerah, it's so rich with these examples that the early Muslims went through a lot of persecution, and the one answer that Allah gave them was fa'fu wasfahu, fa'fu wasfahu, overlook and be tolerant. Afterwards, those very arch enemies became the black pharaohs of Islam, like Umar ibn al-Khattab himself, Murana.
Yes, definitely. How the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with people, just changed them because of the power of his personality and his akhlaq. I mean, just gave that example, how a person was known in a particular way, and how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with him, and how Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was so perceptive, asking this question, Ya Rasulullah, you said he was such a person with such a reputation, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the worst of people are those that people stay away from them because of the abusive nature. Subhanallah. I suppose the converse would also be true. The best of people are those who people are attracted towards them by their good nature.
Interesting indeed. 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. The SMS line 48855. Any messages on your side, Mulana?
No, nothing. Is it from your side?
Just those two that we read out earlier. We can continue, Mulana.
Yeah, let us continue with this. And it's coming now towards the end of the chapter, alhamdulillah, also towards the end of the program. So, alhamdulillah, we are doing these chapters, alhamdulillah, at least once, or at least sometimes in one program, sometimes in two programs. But at least we are making progress in the sense that people are coming to realize, and really, I must say, one of the beautiful aspects of this book, and I would recommend this book, Enjoy Your Life by Muhammad Abdurrahman Al-Arifi. If anyone going for Umrah, it is very widely available in the bookstores in Makkah, Mukarramah, and Medina, Munawwara. Very widely. And, you know, I think the one beautiful aspect is how he deducts principles from incidents that many times we might know, we might have heard, but how he deducts those incidents and put them under a broad chapter. And that chapter then goes on to explain. And of course, sometimes always good to also relate some of your incidents, not with the intention of bravado or with the intention of showing off, but with the intention of sharing it with people to be able to learn from one another's experience. And that's why when we do call upon people to share their experiences, it's not, we're not asking people to come on the program to show that, you know, I've come on this program. You share your experience, you might have had a good experience, a bad experience. If you share it with people, people also come to understand your plight, come to understand what you have learned from a particular situation. So yes, here he gives a beautiful example that an incident related to an anger where I was once in a city, says the author, which is in Amlaj, which is 300 kilometers south of Jeddah, in order to deliver a lecture. Among the audience was a young man who would very easily become angry. This young man was once driving his car on the road at a normal speed as he was in no hurry. Behind him was another car whose driver seemed to be in a rush and was trying to overtake him. And they say that anyone, when you're driving on the road, anyone who is blocking you by driving slowly is a fool. And anyone who is behind you, who is hooting at you for you to drive more faster, is a maniac. You know, that's how we think. So anyone in front of us, he's so slow, he's a fool. You know, he's an ignorant person. And the one who is just, driving behind you and he's hooting at you to give him way, he's a maniac. But that's how many times arguments start. Seeing that the young man slowed down even more and gestured as the car behind began to slow down. And sometimes we do that. So the man is coming down and he's trying to tell you to move on or to move aside. You move even more slow to make him even more frustrated. We think, you know, sometimes we don't realize, but these things on roads can have terrible repercussions. We know that road rage is something that is now common and people have lost their lives because of road rage. And I always tell people one golden principle which has helped me, and I'm sure I'll share it with you. I hope it will help you. That whenever you get angry with any driver on the road, especially the taxis, just bear this in mind. In another half a minute, you're never perhaps going to see that person for the rest of your life. Is it worthwhile to get into an argument or get angry with a person whom you are most likely never ever going to see in your life? Just calm yourself down, think about this, move aside, and don't make a scene. Otherwise, it can have, especially in the era and the environment that we are living in, where people are just so short-fused, it can have tremendous repercussions. So the driver of the car that was following could hold his patience no longer. So he put his foot on the accelerator, swerved close to the one's car, and dangerously overtook. But nobody was hurt. The young man became furious as many times. Now, you moving slowly, so the person behind you comes, and he's in a hurry, you move even more slow. So this person at the back becomes frustrated, and he now cuts in different places, becomes drives recklessly, and he overtook this man somehow or the other. And the young man became furious. He was the type who would get angry over much less than this, and he put his foot on the accelerator to catch up with the car that had overtaken him. He began to shout and gesture at the car so that his driver would stop, which he did. He then placed his headscarf on the passenger seat, grabbed a spanner and got out of the car. He was visibly fuming and angry as he walked towards the other car. And we can imagine what could have happened in such a situation. Suddenly he saw three muscular men jump out of the other car and run towards him. They had seen him with a spanner in his hand and realized he wanted to fight. Now, he had come out of his car with a spanner. The other people, fearing that he had come out of his car with a spanner, he might not have noble intentions, so they made the necessary precaution and the three muscular men came out. Now, many times, you come out and you think you're going to fight and you see the opponent is more stronger than you, then you start backing down.
It's a mix of it.
I don't know if it happened to you in your life, but maybe it might have happened to many people. When he saw them running towards him, he was terrified. And when he realized that they had noticed the spanner in his hand, he slowly raised his hand and said, "I apologize. I just wanted to let you know that the spanner dropped out of your car." After going out with such great Josh, and what actually happened, he saw this whole situation turning against him, and he kept quiet. So one of the men took the spanner, and the three men returned to their car as the young man waved goodbye. Now, this could have turned into a terrible situation because of road rage, because of lack of forbearance, because of lack of patience, and all of the things that we have made mention. Perhaps also part of the whole chapter that you never react the same way as another person. If he's stubborn, you'll be stubborn, it's going to cause problems. If he's angry, you're going to be angry, it's going to cause problems. If he's, for example, cold, you also become cold, that is also going to cause problems. If he's inactive, you are going to be inactive, that is also going to cause problems. Sometimes we have to be diverse. And I would like to repeat that beautiful example of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was once asked, "How did you manage to be a governor for 20 years? And a Khalifa for 20 odd years. First, he was a governor in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in the time of Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And then, how did you be a Khalifa for so long?" He said, "I place a hair strand between myself and the people. I would hold it from one end, and they would hold it from the other end. If they pulled it from the other end, I would loosen it from my end, so the hair strand would not break. If they loosened it from their end, I would pull it from my side, so that there is an equilibrium and a state of moderation in this whole situation. So if both partners of a couple are stubborn, they would never live together in happiness. So bear this beautiful example of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala in mind when you deal with people, not only in your marriage, but in every type of relationship."
So profound indeed. Malami Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us
for. And the way he put this very beautiful, ill temper plus ill temper equals to fireworks.
Jazakumullah khairan, Malami, for your time. Much appreciated.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.